broken and I can't find music. I'm sorry, I'm going to play Diane Bish's arrangement of Jesus Chauvin, Where Are the Sun, instead.
Joy to welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service, and we hope the service is a blessing to you. After the church service, there is a time of fellowship. It's out on our lawn, and there's coffee and little snacks and some chairs if you'd like to sit and extend our fellowship. That's immediately after the service. 7 p.m. this evening, if you're looking for something to do, there's a sing-along at the Village Hall. These are historic. They've been going on in Ephraim for many years. And this Sunday at 7, our own Kathleen Harris will be the MC, Colin Welford will be the accompanist, and Amanda Mitterman, the song leader. And then next Sunday at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, we are hosting here a musical tribute to Joan Lewis. Would you stand with me as we sing our opening hymn, number 714, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast to the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears.
This poor soul cried, and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who reverence him, and delivers them.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles.
We come to that time of worship when we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We want to remember the family of Dean Ekberg in our prayers. Dean passed away after a long illness, and we're so grateful to the Lord for his kindness, his comfort during this very difficult time. We want to remember a friend of mine's partner, Sheila, who's going through some health concerns. We want to remember Jamila and family. We had prayed for her last week. She is a person whose family is going through unspeakable tragedy. And after they gathered for the weekend, she said she could feel the prayers of the church undergirding her. So let us continue to pray for Jamila. We have good news from Rom. He's out of ICU. He's recovering well. So let us continue to pray for Rom. We have people with chronic illnesses, Ed, Barbara and Kevin, Fran and Kate. We'll continue to uphold them. We want to remember our nation during this Independence Day weekend, and the people of Ukraine. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for your kindness, your mercy, your love that surrounds us. We're so grateful that this life is not the only one, and that we look forward to eternal life. We would remember the family of Dean Ekberg. We ask that you would surround Karen and her family with your grace and your mercy and your comfort during this difficult time of loss. We would remember Sheila. We ask that you would bring healing to her, that Jamila and her family would know that underneath them are the everlasting arms. We give you thanks for Rom. We ask that you would continue to heal and strengthen him. For those with chronic illnesses, Ed, Barbara, Kevin, Fran, Kate, that your grace would sustain them each and every day. We lift up our nation before you. We're grateful for the founding of this nation. We're grateful for your love and your mercy. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us our short-sightedness, that you would bring us to truly be united in heart and mind, that you would heal the wounds and especially drive out the hatred between us. We ask that you would be with the people of Ukraine as they unite against a common enemy. We ask that you would comfort all who mourn and that peace would reign in that region. Lord, we know that in ourselves we can do nothing, but on you rests all our hope. For we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Spirit of the Lord.
Our first scripture lesson is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Our second lesson is the gospel according to Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from the heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Let us stand as we sing hymn number 502, "Break Now the Bread of Life."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first came here, one of the questions that I asked was, around this weekend, what does this church celebrate? What does this church want to put forward as the main idea? And I asked, was it Independence Day or July 6th, which is John Huss Day? And of course, I knew the answer. Of course, it was John Huss. Now, we still throw in a patriotic hymn or two because, you know, it is July 4th. But there's a reason that we say July 6th is more important. And that's because John Huss was the spiritual forerunner of the Moravian Church. It's because John Huss was the forerunner of the Reformation. And so it's very important in religious circles that we celebrate John Huss. But did you know that as America has July 4th as our Independence Day, as a federal holiday, the federal holiday in the Czech Republic is John Huss Day. In fact, it is literally called, I can't repeat the Czech language, but it translates to the day of the burning of John Huss. 600 years after his death, there was a survey that asked who was the greatest hero in the Czech Republic. And the answer overwhelmingly, 600 years later, was John Huss. Now that had very little to do with theology. It had very little to do with the things that we might hold dear to us in the religious setting. It had everything to do with how this man stood up to the powers that be. And he embraced the common people. He made sure that the means of grace were dispensed not just to the elite, but to the people in the pews, the people who were in poverty. And anytime there were abuses that harmed people in the name of God, he disputed them. He was also a lover of his nation, and he rejected foreign rule. And he spoke to that cause as well. And so every year, the Czech Republic honors this man. And 600 years later, which is a lot longer than our nation has been formed, his name is still revered in the Czech Republic. Now, I know that in 600 years, I don't think my name's going to be known. But then again, I probably won't be burned at the stake either. So, you know, there is a trade-off here. But for us in the pews today, what does his story help us? How does it help us? How are we to conduct our lives? And I would submit that in the modern day church, we have narrowed down the faith. We've narrowed it down by saying, it's a private thing. It's only between me and God. It's only a corporate thing when we walk into these sacred spaces. But it has very little to do with what I do outside this building and outside my home. And if that is the sum total of our faith, it is puny indeed. For when Jesus sent out his early disciples, those 70, to a place, he said, I'm sending you to where I'm going to follow. He told them that in every town, they were to bring healing. In every town, they were to bring peace. And in every town, they were to say, the kingdom of God has come near. He didn't say, go in and say, you have to think and act a certain way. In every town, there was healing. And when the people came back from that mission, They said even the powers of darkness obeyed us because they came with healing. They came with hope. And this is what we are to do in our little worlds. When my mother started her working career, she started in a college, and she actually started and ended there. She retired from this college. And now she was a high school graduate. She knew nothing of higher education. And she would come home night after night and regale us with stories about college life, and especially the inner workings and the cutthroat ways that corporate executives dealt with each other. And it astounded her that people who were a whole lot smarter and more educated than her couldn't figure life out. She was the payroll officer, so everybody was nice to her, and everybody came to her office, and she was able to help them all, from professor to student. And there was another office by hers, a business office, and there were two women in that office who had mercurial fights. One was a supervisor and one was a worker, and they could hear these ladies yelling at each other from down the hall. And one of the ladies, I'll call her Jenny, was a brilliant worker, but she was a hot mess. She was going through a bitter divorce. She had three adolescent kids that were angry all the time. And so she was angry and bitter. And even though she was a brilliant worker, she made sure that when they had a big project at her work, she took off that day. Now, if she was in private industry, they would have fired her, but they had no choice in civil service, so she stayed on. And then my mother found out that because of a reorganization, this lady was going over to her office. Now, she had no degree in human resources, but she did pray a lot. And in her prayer, she just asked God to help her figure this out. So when this lady came, she didn't sit her down and say, "You've got to toe the line." She didn't say, "These are my expectations." What she did was befriend her. And any time there was a crisis at home, and there seemed to be many, she recounted one time that one of her children didn't come home from school and they didn't know where he was. He was hanging out on the street because, you know, adolescents act out, and she didn't know what to do. And mom said, "Just go. I will cover you. You're okay. Just go home and take care of your family." And this went on year after year. And any time Jenny would come in really uptight and anxious, my mother would say, "Let's go to lunch." And they go to lunch. Well, by the time my mother retired, Jenny was her heir apparent. And Jenny threw her the biggest party that that college had ever seen. It was in the swankest restaurant, and she went down and shook down all the professors, said, "You owe this lady." And so mom had this great send-off. Well, I often wondered what happened to Jenny, and how did she fare? I know she took over that office, and she worked there till retirement. And I found her obituary. She died a couple of years ago at a ripe old age. And there was a tribute to her from someone who worked for her. And she said this: "Jenny was the best boss I ever had. Payroll office was like family away from home. We worked hard, but we always had fun, like throwing parties and going to lunch together. Jenny's office door was always open, and you could tell her anything. It's because of Jenny that she urged me to go full-time, and I have her to thank for my pension. I will miss her and the conversations we had, especially when we got together for the retirees' luncheons." So here was a person who carried on, who changed the culture of that office, as my mother had. There will be people who will never remember my mother from that office, but her legacy lives on. And you see, this is what the church at its best does. We take the grace outside, and we are dispensers of grace to that office worker who's a pain in the neck. we dispense grace. To that family member who's a pain in the neck, we dispense grace. To the community who sometimes gets into all sorts of disputes, we dispense grace. To those who are shattered, we dispense healing. We are the arms of Christ. Let us make our faith bigger, the way God intended it. It's not to be in a little closed community, it's to be out in the world. We come here to get our marching orders and then we go out, just like John Huss did so many years ago, and a nation honors him every year. So we do in our own little worlds, we give that kind of grace. May it be said of us that we not only take care of the people in our circle, but that somebody who is in need, somebody who's shattered today, somebody who is broken today, that we dispense grace. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the saints of old who dispensed grace, who spoke up especially for the oppressed. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to be dispensers of grace to all whom we meet. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our communion is open. All who wish to partake may. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same manner also, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Hymn number 754.
Thank you.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.
The storm clouds gather.